This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this all week for 7 days, and really since the NBA trade deadline. Evan Gennings and Dan DeVoe and Warriors this week. I'm looking forward to the next 3 hours, Dan, because we finally got something of interest, something fascinating to talk about, and that is Jimmy Butler being a Golden State Warriors. What's up, my friend?
How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm fantastic. I'm energized. I'm caffeinated. I've only had one cup of coffee
now,
so far.
Now, do the Warriors have anything to do with that state of mind, or is that just sort of...
It's really all about Jimmy Butler.
I thought it might have been just all about your fifth cup of coffee, and we're not even at 9 o'clock, but go ahead.
Well, no, this is number two. We're doing okay so far. We're going to try to pace ourselves, because that's what the Warriors have to do for the remainder of this season. They have to pace themselves. And it's less about, Dan, the fact that, like I was just looking at championship odds, right? Trying to get somebody, get the fan base all riled up. And they were plus 6,600 before the trade. They're plus 4,000 now. So that might sound like a pretty drastic improvement. It's still about 3% for those that are wondering.
It's an improvement.
Exactly. It's an improvement. But the question is it going to be enough? And I think there are so many different layers to this.
Wow. Could be here all day.
Well, first of all, what was your reaction when you saw the trade? Because I know you and I talked about this summer, that Jimmy Butler, I felt like, was the most realistic star talent that the Warriors could acquire, and it was less about the dubs than it was Pat Riley just got to get off this guy, and they did. So they moved Jimmy Butler, Andrew Wiggins, Kyle Anderson, Dennis Schroeder, a top 10 protected first round pick that has all these different protections. It rolls over next year unprotected 2027. That goes to Miami. What was your reaction to the deal?
Well, I think you know how I feel about Jimmy Butler, and you could put this in the same category of that of a Paul George, a Lauri Markkanen, a Kevin Durant. I am all about going younger. So with that being said, I was not in on Butler. I'm not in on any free agent in their mid-30s. I think this is a Warrior team that their biggest hurdle was, how do we go young? How do we do that as well as play with Steph Curry as he walks off to the sunset in his final 2 years? That was the conundrum. So getting Jimmy Butler is just something that, again, I'm not just saying that for the sake of this podcast. It's just something I've sort of maintained throughout, and I don't want to change now. I will say, however, if that's the guy that you have in your crosshairs and you really feel as though he's a difference maker, and if you're Dunleavy, if you're Kerr, if you're Lacob, then the Warriors did a good job in terms of who it is that they gave up to get the services of Jimmy Butler. I do have major concerns about the two-year extension for Jimmy Butler and his two bad knees at age 35.
So they essentially add an extra year onto what would have been a player option. And this is, I'm a little bit with you. Like, I guess I was surprised to see them extend him, but the fact that it was only an additional season, and I guess it's not the worst thing in the world. Like, I think that Jimmy Butler was hoping to get to Phoenix because they had a Paul George-like contract waiting for him. So the fact that you don't have to have him for 4 years like the Sixers do with Paul George is a win in my mind. But I also think that it's going to take some time to figure out whatever this new iteration of Warriors basketball looks like. Like, I think that the Warriors went out and traded for someone that isn't just going to be a running mate for Steph Curry, but on a good night, Jimmy Butler is going to be your best player. And from that standpoint, you got more talented, right? Kurt talked about talent over culture. But I do think that there's some concern for me about the fit. And it's not as much about the off-the-court stuff, although that could play a factor for some people, but you lost a good shooter. You lost an on-ball defender. And at age 35, I'm not sure where Jimmy Butler helps you in either of those categories. So I think Jimmy Butler is a better player than Andrew Wiggins, but the fit to me is going to take some time to figure out. And time is a luxury the Warriors do not have at this point, standing, what, a game below 500?
I think they compromised the fit years ago. I think that if this is 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, you've got to fit into what it is that we do, right? The cutting, all the motion offense, everything that it is that Steve Kerr has brought to this basketball team, knowing where guys are, balancing a floor. But I think when they got Chris Paul, that was the first time they waved the flag like, you know what, we're a little desperate here. We need some leadership. We swung and missed with Jordan Poole. We need Chris Paul. Chris Paul did not fit into what it is that the Golden State Warriors were doing.
No.
That was the first omen that this team was not necessarily heading in another direction, but willing once again to compromise. And then we saw it again with Dennis Schroeder, who again didn't necessarily fit in with his style of play to what it is that the Golden State Warriors like to do. And I think so, to me, that was compromised a couple of years back, or at least a year ago. And now Jimmy Butler coming in, the Warriors' way is no longer as it's not what it once was, in that they're a little bit more flexible as far as sort of amending things to fit in the style of somebody that they think can improve the team.
I agree with that, but let's take Chris Paul and Dennis Schroeder. And I think Jimmy Butler is an obviously superior player to both of those guys at this stage in their career. Did Chris Paul really help you?
I think so.
I think he did a bit, but he was also sidelined. Like, I think if Chris Paul had been able to play 60 or 70 games, that would have helped you. Jimmy Butler is someone that over his time in Miami has averaged 56 games played per regular season and is known to take regular seasons off. That's one thing. Did Dennis Schroeder help you?
I would say that's a wash. I didn't think he necessarily hurt you. He didn't help you.
See, I think that there's a consequence to everything. Now, consequences could be good or bad, but the thing about Schroeder is, like, there was this guys that it was a low-risk, high-reward type of trade, right? You needed a player. Melton was hurt. You needed to get somebody in here. Schroeder was the guy. That's true, and I think Schroeder did help them win some basketball games, although I would argue not as many as people are led to believe. The reason why they had to trade for Jimmy Butler instead of a LaVine or a trade earlier is because you couldn't move off of Schroeder. Like, there was a consequence to the Schroeder contract, which was he was only trade eligible as of February 5th. That means they had to stand by. Like, I don't think the Warriors, their first plan was Jimmy Butler. In fact, it may not have even, it might have been Kevin Durant. I think they would have preferred to get Zach LaVine than Jimmy Butler. And I think that someone like Steve Kerr and Steph Curry were reported as such wanting Zach LaVine over Jimmy Butler. Now, they're going to be professionals, and they're going to ride this thing out and play as hard as they can and coach as hard as they can, but that was because I think that the Bulls had a deal in place with the Kings only because the Warriors were literally unable to trade for LaVine because they couldn't move off of Schroeder. So that's a consequence of that trade. Now, the question is, what is going to be the positive impact, the negative impact of Jimmy Butler? I think there's an argument for both. And I'm curious what people think at 888-957-9570. Evan Giddings and Dan Devone here on Warriors This Week. Like, if I was to ask you, Dan, let's start with the positives. What do you think the positives of this deal can be for the Warriors?
Well, Jimmy Butler can be a very good basketball player. Now, I know you watch the NBA. I do, probably not as much as you, but I keep an eye on the Miami Heat. And I'm just curious if Dub Nation and the fans out there have watched Jimmy Butler play basketball, not 2 years ago, not when he dragged a team to the NBA Finals, which was all him, not even when he took that team to the NBA Finals in the bubble against the Los Angeles Lakers. But it's all about the here and now. What is it you're trading for today? And Jimmy Butler this year has just been not very good. Now, again, does that have to do with the fact that he was disgruntled, with the fact that he wasn't getting the extension and Pat Riley? Maybe. I know that he can be a good basketball player. And I think the positives are is that he fills a lot of gaps. You need somebody who can go out and isolate other than Steph Curry and get to the rim. You need somebody with his intensity, his intelligence, and he's still a very good basketball player when he's dialed in. It's just to me about Jimmy Butler. It's all about the money. This idea that he's going to come here and how is this going to work when you're talking about the temperament of him and a Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is a soldier when you're in that honeymoon. He doesn't have issues with people. He doesn't have issues necessarily with teammates. It's about his money. You mess with his money, and you're going to get bad Jimmy. That's been true everywhere he goes. It's not necessarily personal with the team. It's with his contract. So I think knowing that he has the extension, I think you're going to get good Jimmy. My question is, at age 35, and with the two bad knees to go along with your best players who are soon to be 37 and 36 respectively, that just does not work for me. It's just a young man's league, and that's just getting too old.
I think it is a young man's league. I also think it's a league driven by talent. And from that standpoint, I do think the Warriors got more talented. You know, I think they did lose a larger piece of their culture than people understood until maybe the deadline when the stories came out about just how somber the locker room was knowing that Andrew Wiggins was going to be traded. Like, that was something that I underestimated, and I do think that holds impact. But let's stick with Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is a winner, number one. And you're right, no matter where he's been the first season or two, that team has won. Now, I don't think that he's the same player that he's been the first 25 games. I think he's better than that. Like, to me, and he talked about this. Well, I'll just play. You can hear from him. He's happy to be playing again. Why?
For myself, I'm so happy to be playing basketball again, honestly. Before an organization like this one with some hellified talent that we have, I'm glad that I get the opportunity to get here and help get us to winning and do something special. I think that's why I'm here, and I will do my best to do what everybody wants, and that's to win a championship. I mean it.
Well, that's a pretty big goal. But I will say something else he mentioned was he felt like he was doing cardio in Miami. And for me, watching him play, he just seemed disinterested entirely. So the fact that you're going to get a locked-in Jimmy Butler, whether it's because of money or because he's away from Miami or both, I do think you're going to get the best version of whatever is left in Jimmy Butler. And I think it's good from the standpoint of the Warriors may have identified who their number one can be on given nights. Because from what we've seen over the last, I would say, 10, 12 games, Curry has really struggled when he's being asked to be the sole player. Like, maybe at the beginning of the year, before the bilateral tendonitis, before the thumb injury, he was able to do it. But, I mean, he's shooting below 40% from the floor, around 30% from three over the last 10, 12 games. And you can't continue like that, especially in a game where, like, against the Lakers, Dan, he took 35 shots. That's not the Steph Curry I know, and I think Jimmy Butler is someone that can come in and at least take more off of his plate than a Schroeder and even an Andrew Wiggins could.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler is still a good basketball player, and don't get this wrong. I actually like Jimmy Butler, even through all of this with Miami, and even going back to his days in Minnesota. I find him entertaining, and I've listened to him on some podcasts. He's actually sort of he's smart, and he's got a good sense of humor. I like the guy. I didn't necessarily pick a side when it came between him and Pat Riley, but this is what he's always done. He makes no bones about it. He and his agent have always been this way. Don't mess with his money. When it comes to his money, he'll turn into this guy. But when it comes to getting along with players, I know he had that blow up with Udonis Haslam. Remember that? And Spo on the sidelines. In fact, they were playing the Golden State Warriors. I think that was last year or the year before. But typically, he gets along with players. I think that the Warriors get better because when Jimmy Butler's dialed in, he's a good basketball player. Again, the question I have is just it's age, and it's the 35-year-old Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler of a couple of years ago, Steph Curry a couple of years ago, and Draymond Green all younger. Yes, I always say this, that, well, I guess before I even give you that quote-unquote take, what is it that we're looking to accomplish with the addition of Jimmy Butler? Butler talked about a championship. Is that where we're at? The Warriors were one player away, and Jimmy Butler was that guy between the Golden State Warriors and winning another title for Steph Curry, Steve Kerr, and the Golden State Warriors? Or is it Jimmy Butler can get you into the playoffs? Maybe you steal around. Who the hell knows? Maybe you catch fire and you get to the semis. Hey, it's better for you and I, right? We got something to talk about rather than sitting on our hands. But what is it that the addition of Jimmy Butler for someone like yourself and or Warrior fans, what do you think that that's going to provide for this team going forward?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because I think that I've been really struggling with identifying what the expectation is now, because their big three is the oldest in the league. Like, it's Curry, who's about to be 37, Jimmy Butler is 35 going on 36, and Draymond, who's 34. To me, you have to make the playoffs. If you make this move, you move Wiggins, you give up a pick. I realize that it wasn't as big of a haul as people were, as certainly as you would have given up maybe this summer or a year ago for a Jimmy Butler, but you got to make the playoffs. Like, you have to. If you don't make a playoffs, if you don't make the playoffs, or if you get bounced in the play-in like last year, I do think that we're looking at the beginning of a disastrous trade. I'm serious. Like,
well, yeah, no, I think that this is a disaster to begin. I don't want to go there.
All right.
But I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt. But if they don't get to the playoffs, it's because if they don't make the playoffs, you got them for another 2 years, and guess what? You ain't getting any younger. So, and then you've lost sort of the latitude. You're still, I think you did a good job by not, quote-unquote, compromising the future and hanging on to the young pieces. Kudos to Mike Dunleavy. There's still some flexibility there, moving people, and you still have, you know, some room when it comes to swapping picks. But you have now just balled and chained yourself to a guy who's 60 per for the next 2 years to go along with 60 mil for Steph Curry and then another 25 to Draymond Green. That's like 130 mil. You're up against the cap with three guys. Want to get to some calls?
Let's do it. Steve, if you have a moment, no worries. Take it easy, Steve, over there. While we give Steve time to wrap up that phone call, 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings with Dan DeVone with you. Let's listen to Mike Dunleavy Jr., his decision to trade for Butler at the deadline. Here's Mikey D.
This is never an easy time of year when you have to do some of this stuff and make some of these moves. You know, we're in the business of winning. We made an acquisition of a guy sitting next to me who's one of the best in the league, an elite two-way player, and we are thrilled to have him into the fold. You know, I think this is the type of thing where we got to hit the ground running right away. Not a lot of room for error. We're sitting here at 500, 32 games to go, so it's time to get winning.
Well, it's been time to get winning for some time, Mike. I hate to break it to you. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Steve, we could please go to Jan in Mountain View. Jan, you're first up on Warriors this week with Evan and Dan. How are you? Good morning.
Oh, fine. Good morning. I just wanted, I've heard the talk shows throughout the week, and I'll give Butler a chance. But what's been kind of going through my mind is that, okay, he's quit on Miami, he's quit on Minnesota, Philadelphia, and I just wanted to know if there's some acquisition in the or clause in the contract that says, okay, we're giving you this one chance and we're giving you an extension on top of it, but if you turn around and quit on us like the other teams, you're out of the NBA. I mean, you've done this now how many times? And we're counting on you to help out Stephen Curry and the rest of the team and get us over the, you know, get us to the playoffs. And we don't need, you know, we don't need to end up with this kind of, an acquisition after all we've been through. So, you know, what do you think? Thank you. That's all I had to say.
Appreciate it, Jan. Thanks for the call. I think it's a risky move. Like, you bring in a combustible personality, and I don't care whether Draymond Green's in your locker room or not. Like, Jimmy Butler's an alpha dog. He is a number one personality. He's a number one talent. He's a number one player when he's at his best. There's risk when you bring that kind of player into your locker room. I think no matter what this... Now, this could be a situation, Dan, where people are like, for example, killed the Mavericks a couple of years ago for bringing in Kyrie Irving. I think at the time he was perceived as toxic, a little bit of a head case, off the court issues. Didn't have to do with money, but he helped the Mavericks get to a finals last year. It could be one of those. It also could be a deal where you bring in a superstar and things don't go the way they want them to, and we're left basically in the same place at the end of the season. The thing that I guess I struggle with is it kind of feels like they kicked the can down the road a bit. Like, you gave him a contract.
I think.
And you paired him with Steph and Draymond. You kept your young pieces, but, like, I don't really think they shook. Like, I don't think they chose a direction, honestly. I know Mike Dunleavy said we now have a direction, and you and I talked about this 7 days ago, us wanting them to choose a path or a direction. I don't think they did. And I guess that's an issue that I have.
Well, really quick, to Jen's point, I don't know that there's a clause, but it's a good idea. I don't think you can kick him out of the NBA. But now that you mention it, maybe there is something in there for the Warriors specifically that should it get to that point where you start quitting on the team, that we have some outs. I would say this about Jimmy Butler, is that Jimmy Butler, if you don't mess with his money, is a guy that will get along with his teammates. He only goes nuclear when he has contract disputes. Let's not forget, Jen mentioned Philadelphia. She talked about his trip in Miami. When he was with Miami, he dragged, some bums, basically. Caleb Martin and an old Kyle Lowry, to the NBA Finals, man. And when he was with Philadelphia, he was very, very good. They were that one weird... Leonard's little shot from the corner that took like a half an hour to go around the cylinder and finally...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ruined Philadelphia's shots of finally getting to the NBA Finals. That sent it into overtime. But he was very good with that team that went deep into the playoffs to the Eastern Conference Finals. And by the way, with that Philadelphia team, he was not the number one. He was not the alpha. That was Joel Embiid's team. So I think at least for a year or two, he can play nice in the sandbox. He can be that guy. I don't have an issue with that. It's always the money. My issue, again, just gets back to the age thing. And to your point, what they've done is they're prolonging, again, the inevitable. At some point, you're going to have to blow this up. Kicking the can down the road is exactly what it is that they did. And we can get into it about, eventually you're going to meet that fork in the road where you're like, we're so damn old. And we've rinsed everything out of these three guys, and we're still a mediocre to not a very good basketball team, except it's 2027 as opposed to 2024.
What I do like about it is they acquired a teammate for Curry that is the most talented that he's played with since Kevin Durant. I mean, Jimmy Butler is, you're right, his resume speaks for himself. I would even argue in Philadelphia that while he might not have been the most talented player, like, he was the leader of that team. The furthest that Joel Embiid has ever gone to the postseason is when he was teammates with Jimmy Butler.
But it was Embiid's team.
Well, Embiid was the best player, but Jimmy Butler is, and that's another part of this too. And I don't know whether you like it or you don't like it. Jimmy Butler is the loudest voice in every room that he steps into. He is the leader in every room that he steps into, whether it was in Chicago, and Mike Dunleavy knows this. He played with him for 3 years, even though he was much younger. When he got to Minnesota, He got the Timberwolves to the playoffs with the Wiggins, with a cat, with a young baby pup Timberwolves team for the first time since 2004. Then he goes to Philadelphia, helps them get back to the playoffs. They choose Tobias Harris over him, so he goes to Miami. Immediately helps turn that franchise into a winning one for the first time since they got off LeBron James. Like, his resume is he wins, but he does it on his terms. And I just wonder how it's going to mesh with the Warriors, who also don't really seem to have much of a relationship with him. Like, that's another thing, too.
I detected that as well.
I don't know if it's good or bad, because, again, you're right. Like, I don't think the issue with Jimmy is ever with the players or the coaching staff. The issue is with the front office. He has quarrels with the general manager or any president that doesn't want to pay him or thinks that he's less than he is. And that was Pat Riley. But, I mean, Kerr doesn't seem to have a relationship with him. Curry doesn't seem to have much of a relationship with him. Even Draymond doesn't really seem to know
him. If you listen to Draymond's podcast last week, he wanted nothing to do with Jimmy Butler. And I don't think he thought, especially when Jimmy Butler said and came out last week, that I'm not signing an extension with the Warriors. I think that Draymond felt as though he was in somewhat of a safe place to sort of go around the edges or at least on the fringe of saying, yeah, I don't want this dude on my team. And here he is. I know for a fact you're waiting for those two to butt heads.
Shot, you talking to me?
Look, it's going to be interesting. That's actually probably the word. That's the word that I've heard used by media members the most to describe this trade. It's interesting. Yeah. But no one can tell me whether it's going to be good or bad because we got to let it play out.
I'll tell you, it's going to be bad.
Well, I know you think it will be. I think it could be fun, to be honest. Before we wrap up and get to our first break on Warriors this week, Evan Giddings and Dan Devone, 888-957-9570 is the number if you want to text in, call in. Please let us know how you feel about the Jimmy Butler era beginning tonight in Chicago, 5 o'clock, Warriors live and postgame with Mark Grandy. Let's go to Austin in San Francisco. Austin, my man, good morning. How are you?
Good. Happy Saturday, my guys, Evan and Dan. Listen, Dan, you know, I can relate to Butler, Evan, because he's a Renaissance man, a little different. I mean, Jimmy's into his exotic coffees and things of that nature. So Dan can relate to that. He's a little different. So I think you guys have a lot more in common, Dan, and you want to admit. But that's cool. I think you said something really cool, though. You said that Jimmy, you wouldn't look at his past transgressions or whatever, or disagreements with management. I totally agree with that. Because listen, to being in corporate world, just because you leave a company doesn't mean that you're going to be the same where you go, and it also doesn't mean that it should be held against you. So I would never say. You know, we don't know all that happened, what went down in Miami. So I think we have to move on as Warrior fans. Don't get caught up in that. Let's worry about what he's going to do for the Warriors. Now, here's my take, guys, a little different. I actually feel as though Jimmy's addition is very positive, and her reason may be a little different than you guys see it. I see it as more of a changing. They need another set of eyes in that locker room. They need to be shaken up. This is a sub-500 team, and it's nice that everybody got along and there's all this emotion about guys leaving, but it's a business. These guys know what they signed up for. So this is going to happen. The way it went down may not have been the best, but that's the way the business is, and they all know it. So the fact is the Warriors need to be shaken up. They need somebody else in that locker room that can look at what they have, the young guys included. They'll leave you saying, yeah, those guys don't know him, but that's exactly what I want. I don't want somebody that everybody's comfortable with because the Warriors don't need comfort right now. They need to win. So I'm actually looking to see what Jimmy's impact is going to be. And we know what he could do on the basketball court. He's proven that. He's a pro. But what do we have in that locker room? And I think that's what we got to find out. Everybody thinks they know who the next guy is and this guy is going to be good. I'm not so sure about all that. And I think that a guy like Jimmy Butler can give you a perspective that you wouldn't have gotten from KD. You certainly wouldn't have gotten from LaVine. I would like to have seen them add Vucevic, though. I think they can still get a big that may not be a superstar, but I think that's still an open area for them to go add that big guy. But, yeah, guys, just I'd be curious to think what you guys think about his addition to the locker room just to kind of shake things up. I'm a big fan of shaking things up, guys. I'll listen. Thanks.
Thanks, Austin. I think it's a really good call. Yeah, I think – well, the Warriors are obviously in need of a shakeup, but I think what you talked about last week, Dan, was the idea of trying to get younger, which is something they – actually did the opposite of because they traded a 29-year-old or a 35-year-old.
Yeah, and I think that when we're talking about is this team or the locker room, can it be big enough for the two big personalities that is now Draymond and Jimmy Butler? Well, I told you, sort of tongue-in-cheek, although I do owe you alcohol, that there's a potential that Draymond Green, because anything can happen, could get shipped out of town by Thursday. There's a potential that this could be Jimmy Butler's team going forward.
Yeah.
So the idea that, hey, listen, does Draymond sign off on this guy may not be the narrative, because it could be Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green could be expendable come the offseason. I mean, a lot's going to happen between now and then.
No doubt, no doubt. And we want to continue to talk to you about it as the Jimmy Butler era begins tonight in Chicago. 888-957-9570 is the number. 9 to noon, Warriors this week, every single Saturday on 95.7 The Game. Evan Giddings and Dan Devone, we're back after this.
Martin, he gets it to Jimmy. Everybody clears out. Butler drives up with speed, pulls it back, fires another three, makes another three. Jim E. Buckets, white hot flame.
Yeah, I got a feeling I'm finna be back in a big way too. So I'm smiling. Like I said, I've been going at it. I've been training. I've been doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. I know that I have my joy back now. I'm in a different situation, different group of guys. I can't wait to get out there and compete. I've had all the family time that I need.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
Well, that is the newest Golden State Warriors, Jimmy Butler. The Warriors, Warrior, Jimmy Butler. He gets traded from the Miami Heat. Andrew Wiggins, Schroeder, Anderson, first-round pick, gone. $112 million two-year extension for Butler before even signing. It's a risk. It's a risky move. I think it has more risk than a lot of people are making it out to be. And I think that, yes, 650, we will expand and explain. But I think, for me, it's less about the locker room dynamic. I think Jimmy Butler is going to fit. I think that players are going to like playing with Jimmy Butler. I think Butler, now that he's paid and taken care of, is going to be, you know, a good soldier. I do wonder about the basketball aspect of things, Dan, because you mentioned something before the break, and it was about how, you know, if they could get Vucevic or if they could make another move. To me, that would have made this deal make more sense. Yeah. But just from a basketball standpoint, the Warriors have had trouble this year, in my opinion, because they've been old. And they haven't been fast enough. They don't play with enough pace. And Jimmy Butler does not help them in either of those categories.
No, and he's not young. And that's my biggest issue. And I don't mean to continue to beat this dead horse. But
you hate us young guys.
No, are you kidding me? I'm all about you. I'm all about you and your future and as a broadcaster and the same thing. And it's hard. It's hard for guys who've been doing it for a while to get older to make way for new people. But that's... You know, you can't – the Warriors right now, as an aging basketball team, to me, are just prolonging again what I think is going to be an inevitability, which is that you're going to have to rebuild. I don't think that you were one player away from getting back to the Western Conference Finals and or an NBA championship, and I've just maintained that throughout. But I do want to say that there is a level of excitement with Jimmy Butler because he fills a lot of gaps. I mean, Jimmy Butler, when he's dialed in and wants to play basketball, is a very good basketball player, and he, everywhere he has gone, has made teams immediately better. And if he does that with the Warriors – and with their veteran leadership, if you really want to look at this glass half full and you're banking, hey, we get into the playoffs, well, the advantage you would have is that Butler knows what the hell it is that he's doing when it comes to the postseason, as is obviously Draymond and Steph. And if you're taking on an OKC, if you're taking on a Houston or even a Memphis, you have the advantage of a team that's been there and done that.
Well, you also have a player that makes your team more watchable. Like, I'm going to be honest, the Warriors have been really difficult to watch. And that's why I like the move because I cover the team and I got to watch these games and lucky enough to go to a decent amount of them. Like, I'm looking forward to listening to Jimmy Butler. I'm looking forward to watching him every single night because watching what this team was before him was woof. I mean, watching them blow leads and struggle to put woof. It's just a. It's just a term for like, oh my God. Like,
break it down for me.
What, woof?
I just recently realized a whip is a car.
Well, it's a word with multiple meanings, okay. But it's more of an expression. Like me and my friends use woof. You could talk to, you know, maybe it's a meal that you really loved. Woof. Maybe it's, it's a player that you really love watching. Like, that move was... Oof.
Are we no longer doing fire?
Woof.
Are we no longer doing fire?
Maybe it's a beautiful woman walking down the street. Woof.
Is that fire? Is that out?
Maybe when it comes out of your mouth.
Okay.
I don't think fire is all that back in. All right, save us. Alexander's in Chicago, where Jimmy Butler is going to make his debut tonight for the Warriors. Alexander, what's going on, my man? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing? Can y'all hear me clear?
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, you know what? I'm actually doing kind of bad because even though I'm in Chicago and I'm a Chicago native, if I do get Bulls tickets, it would be to the Warriors game. Mm. And, like, I dropped the ball this time because the Warriors are my favorite team, and they get one of my favorite players in Jimmy Butler. And it would have been making his debut here in Chicago, and I ain't going to be able to be at the game, man. So, yeah, that sucks, man. But intentionally, man, you know, with Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green working out, man, it kind of brings me to the situation with Jordan and Pippen and Dennis Rodman. When they was figuring out, we finding out that Michael Jordan never had any much of a relationship with Scottie Pippen, right, when he was playing. But they still figured out a way to get out there and be dominant and win games. You know what I'm saying? And even, you know, Steve Kerr had his fair share as well. Michael Jordan punked him in the eye at one point. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, I like the energy in the locker room like that. I think it's definitely what the Warriors need. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully it don't come down to that. But I just can't get past, man. We got two dogs in the locker room, man. Jimmy Butler is a gladiator basketball player, man. He gonna come in and he gonna fight to win. You know what I'm saying? So that's what Golden State need right now. You know, that's what they need in the locker room, man. So I think as far as him and Draymond Green working out, I think they'll be just fine, you know, because if I'm Draymond Green, Draymond Green personally shouldn't be trying to do any type of commotion or stop any type of show because, you know, he's just now getting back. He's been doing really well this year as far as staying out of trouble, you know what I'm saying? But he got a $100 million contract, and I'm sure the Warriors can make a lot of use of that come summertime if this Draymond Green thing is not working out with Jimmy Butler. We already know they signed off on Jimmy Butler. They paid him his money, so he going to be there. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just looking forward to the energy. I'm looking forward to the impact, man. And I think the Warriors going to go ahead and get to the playoffs. It shouldn't be hard. Come on, y'all. Win five games in a row. Win four games in a row.
Hey, before you go.
It's not hard, man.
Did you go to high school in Chicago?
Well, I'm a Illinois native, so I'm like 30 minutes from Chicago.
Gotcha.
So, you know, it's like the Simeons and all of that.
All right, I got you.
I know about them. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like in Naperville, like.
I just want to know who's the true legend out of Chicago at the high school level. Is it Len Bias, Tim Hardaway, or Dwayne Wade?
Derrick Rose.
Oh man, it's Derrick Rose, brother.
it's
Derrick Rose. But D Wade up there too, though. D Wade is up there as well. So
thanks for the call, my man.
My area too.
Appreciate Alexander.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Have fun watching the game tonight. Well, look, it's. Like, again, it's not – Jimmy Butler is, a really good basketball player. In fact, I would argue that his career is going to go down as one of the more underrated of his generation because he doesn't have, like, the eye-popping stats. But if you ever watch him play, you can just see that this dude is a baller. Like, he's a stud, and he's got a fantastic story. Junior college kid, 4 years of college after getting to Marquette, you know, I think a second-round pick. Worked his way up with the Bulls, was known as like a defensive stopper, and then transformed himself into... Like, Jimmy Butler is a stud. I love Jimmy Butler. But the thing about this deal is I also don't know if it's necessarily this is the three that they're looking at. Like, I think they could very easily use Jimmy Butler's contract to trade for a max salary slot player this summer. And that's kind of a back door that they've built in for themselves. But I really don't think that they've chose a direction yet. They've more so just, I think, tried to put a Band-Aid over it.
Well, there's more of a direction in the sense that we're going for it right now. And we're trying to appease Steph Curry because the other direction...
What is going for it, though?
Meaning that they're trying to win a title with Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry. At least that's what they're going to tell the public, the unwashed masses, if you will. I've always felt that the direction, because the other direction they could have gone in is to go backwards, young man, to get into that lottery. I know this isn't popular, but to go ahead and not be good for a year or two. Look at the Boston Celtics, the perfect example. When they realized that their two aging stars that took them to an NBA championship, that being Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, were no longer the same basketball players, and they were coming to the same sort of ending like that of the Warriors that are currently faced with this end to a dynasty. What is it that we do? What is it that the Boston Celtics did? They traded two very popular players synonymous with that title in Pierce and Kevin Garnett to the Brooklyn Nets. What did they get in return? They got a boatload of first-round draft picks. What did those draft picks turn into? Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. The new iteration of an NBA championship for the Boston Celtics. To me, now I know it's not apple for apple because the Brooklyn Nets at the time had just moved from New Jersey. They were looking for a splash and they were willing to overpay. But to me, that's the road that I always felt that the Warriors needed to subscribe and go down. The idea of trying to get something out of this never works. And I always say this to people, please show me. I don't want to be that guy to throw water on this. But when's the last time in NBA history that we saw a team in their mid-30s do anything or get a free agent in their mid-30s and be good? Please, someone just point out to me where you got a free agent that fit at age 35 and that put a team over the top to win an NBA championship.
To win a championship, no, but the 1997 Rockets did do that.
Okay, we're going back to the 1997.
No, but well, you asked last time it happened. I'm trying to tell you the last time it happened.
But I would argue that the league is very different now in 2025.
Well, it is, but yeah. Hakeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, and Charles Barkley. They added Barkley from the Suns. I mean, they won 57 games. They got to the Western Conference Finals. Now, that was a little different, I think, because
I want to say Olajuwon as well as Drexler were younger than 35 years of age.
They were, I think all three of them were between 33 and 35. So they were a little bit younger. But in the 90s, I mean,
it's a very different world.
Yeah, I think 33, 34 was pushing it. I mean, Larry Bird retired when he was 34 years old. So that's the example.
Yeah.
But the next year, they went 500 and got bounced in the first round. The year after that, in 99, which is a strike-shortened season, they got bounced in the first round. So it's...
Since you threw the Houston Rockets...
It's risky.
Nailed me with the right cross. I'm going to go... Go ahead.
No.
Go through NBA.
But to your point, Dan, and again, this is why I don't hate the move, but I struggle to see how it's going to work to the extent that the Warriors have envisioned. It's because that 97 Rockets team... I think Hakeem Olajuwon played like 78 games, and he was their best player. Who is the best player on the Warriors right now with Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green? Who's the best player?
Give it to me again.
That Rockets team that won 57 games, Olajuwon was their best player. He played 78 games that year. They won 57. They made it to the Western Conference Finals. Who is the best player in 2025 on the Warriors?
Steph.
I don't know. I don't know if that's the case anymore.
Well, I got to see Jimmy Butler play with the Warriors, but as of right now, I'd say clearly Steph.
I don't think that's good enough. Like, I think that's one of the reasons why they're in the place they are.
Yeah.
I don't think that is good enough. Steph Curry right now he's still playing extremely well, but he's averaging 23 points on 43% shooting and under 39 from three-point range. That's not Steph.
Yeah.
Him taking 35 shots and 23s is not Steph. And so I think if the Warriors are going to get to where they want to go, if they're going to make a run at this thing, Jimmy Butler might have to be a better player than Steph Curry. And that's a lot to ask, especially for a guy that we haven't seen play much this year.
Or just be good. Just the other thing.
But Andrew Wiggins was just good.
Yeah, and you're right. The other thing we're missing in all of this is Jonathan Kuminga. And Jonathan Kuminga not being available, when he comes back, that's going to be a huge, huge boost to this basketball team because I think he's the one guy that's young, all right? And he's the one guy that's got a high motor. You don't have to worry about load management and back-to-backs. You don't have to worry about the injuries, although he's obviously got the bad wheel right now, but he doesn't have the history of going down with that injuries. You'd like to think this is the one-off. But I think him returning is something that we have to keep in mind because that, to me, is going to be an interjection that's really going to propel this basketball team if Jimmy Butler does work out and Butler is able to alleviate some of the double and triple teams that Steph's currently dealing with, and then you bring in a Jonathan Kuminga, another guy that you can't sleep on, and suddenly maybe you got something there. Just to go back, when you nailed me with the right cross, going back to the 1990s.
Are you going
to
judo move me right now?
With Houston. This is the point I'm trying to make here. So I'm going to take a look at the last couple of NBA champions. The Boston Celtics obviously won it last year. Did they do it with an aging core or getting in a free agent at age 35? No, it was with guys they drafted, and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and they finally got into their sweet spot at age 26, 27, 28, and now they're NBA champs. The Denver Nuggets won it the year before that. They drafted the Joker. They drafted Jamal Murray. They drafted Michael Porter Jr. They get into their sweet spot, their prime, 27, 28 years of age. They win an NBA championship. The Golden State Warriors, of course, we know that they drafted their guys. The Milwaukee Bucks won it before them. They drafted Giannis. They get Chris Middleton, who wasn't drafted by them, but was traded, I think, with Detroit. But he was like age 22, 23. But again, the core was set with that basketball team. The outlier might be the Los Angeles Lakers because LeBron was older, but LeBron might be the greatest player of all time. But who was the free agent that they acquired? Or who's the guy that they got in a trade? It was Anthony Davis, very much in his prime. So I think you see what it is where I'm going with this, that what it is that the Warriors are trying to do, it's just unprecedented. If somebody can give me a template where this has worked before, with three stars in their middle, in their mid-30s, adding another guy with bad knees in their mid-30s, I don't care about the resume. I don't really care what they've done in the rearview mirror. I'm just curious when it's ever happened in the history of the NBA. And, of course, you nailed me with the Houston Rockets of 1997. But
well, I didn't want to bring up the bubble championship, but technically the Lakers added a mid-30s LeBron and won a title. But
no, but that was with Anthony Davis. I would say LeBron wasn't added. LeBron was already there. They added Anthony Davis, and Anthony Davis came on board at age 27, 28.
Yeah, no, he was their best player, but I'm saying if you're talking about a team that's constructed with a mid-30s player, but I think that's, as we've come to find out, LeBron James he's the outlier. He's an exception. He's not the rule. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVoe, Warriors this week, alongside our guy Steven Rizzotto, Pasta. If you're calling in, be nice to Steve, all right? He's working hard back there. Steve, you could please bring on City Boy. He's in the city. My man, City, what's going on? Good morning.
Where in the city are you from?
What up, E? Like Japantown over there, Western Edition.
Gotcha.
Yeah. What's up, fellas?
Yo.
So, you know, I love this Jimmy Butler deal, but it is a short term. But, you know, his contract lines up with Dre and Steph now, so we get a couple years of this. I do worry that this year is too late in the season, you know, because right now we have to leapfrog a few teams. You know, the play-in is even, like, in question. I do see San Antonio. I think they got better. I think they're going to maybe go on a run. But I hope not. I mean, so – but I think Jimmy's going to be a good fit here. It's good that it's a short-term thing. I think for like 2 years with Jimmy, I think that's about his shelf life. I think it could work great. Steph desperately needs somebody at the end of games that can actually draw some attention. See Steph's efficiency go up. I do feel like his thumb injury has been a big part of, you know, his age. Obviously, look, age is without a question or an issue for this team, right? And Dan, to your point, like who's done this before? As a Warrior fan and you know, a true believer of Steph Curry, especially, I'm going to tell you, this team has done so many things over the last decade that we've never seen before. All right, Steph Curry has done so many things we've never seen before. So I kind of don't worry about what's happened previously.
Fair enough.
You know, plus these players, you know, it's crazy what LeBron did the other night, and Steph at his age going for 37. I mean, these dudes are in amazing shape in comparison with what we used to see, right? I mean, it's night and day. I mean, guys at 37 playing like they're 29, you know? I mean, it is pretty wild to see the level these guys are able to play at an advanced age, you know? And so, you know, I'm hopeful for the next 2 years plus this half a season, we're going to at least get some fun basketball to watch. Really, my biggest concern with Jimmy isn't his attitude or him getting along in the locker room. It's more about, you know, his availability and his propensity for sitting games out. You know, I mean, I hate that. I mean, it's one thing if you're really hurt, but it seems like they were interviewing a guy from Miami radio or something, and he said, you know, Jimmy will call out with a stomach ache, you know, and that's not a good thing. So So let's hope we don't see any of that. And you mind if I give you a Super Bowl prediction? Because I'm kind of psyched for the game tomorrow. I mean, even though obviously as a Frisco dude, I'm not really into either one of the teams.
Yeah, can they both lose?
I know. It's a great matchup, though. I just can't stand either one of them teams. But, it's funny. Being a big Niner fan growing up and still as well now, it makes me think of the Niners a number of times in Super Bowls when the NFC Championship game was really the Super Bowl, and then they would go into the Super Bowl, and it was almost like an exhibition. It was like a celebration of their season, you know. Thinking about that Denver game or the San Diego game, you know, and so I think that KC is going to just mop the floor with them. I mean, I'm looking at 41-10.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I think it's going to be, yeah. And we haven't seen a blowout in the Super Bowl in a while, I don't believe. And I think we're going to see a blowout. We're going to see Taylor Swift dancing. We're going to see Kelce scoring 3 touchdowns. And it's going to be ugly. And it's going to happen because of turnovers. So Spagnuolo is going to get that defense cranked up. And we're going to see some turnovers early. And KC is going to start rolling. They're going to start feeling the energy and the three-peat that we've never seen before in football. Yes, it's a three-peat, and it's going to be ugly. So that's what I'm looking for tomorrow.
Rizzotto, you ready? No one likes us. No one likes us. No one likes us, and we don't care. We're from Philly, effing Philly. No one likes us, and we don't care. Although,
what is going on here?
Let's get back to the Warriors.
I don't know if it's going to be a blowout. Also, because have the Chiefs blown out anybody this season? I know they won 15 games and a couple in the playoffs, but they haven't beaten anybody, I think, by more than double digits in quite some time. Anyways, there's one thing that does rest heavy on my mind, Dan. There is one thing, and I'll tell you about it on the other side, but I do have to get it off my chest.
We got 3 minutes.
No, but it's a good point. I think it's going to open up the conversation. I think it's going to stoke the fire, which is what Jimmy Butler and this trade has done.
So here's something I'd like to get in before we get to the break.
Uh-huh.
And I guess it's sort of defending Jimmy Butler. The harsh reality that is the NBA. Look, we all know these dudes make boatloads of money. We all want to be NBA basketball players.
By the way, thanks, City.
But when you think about just how somber that locker room was when, you know, Steve Kerr had to call the team off the floor in Utah and basically inform them, listen, Andrew Wiggins is gone. And Dennis Schroeder, who just moved his family out of here. He's got kids in school. I don't defend it, but I can understand what it is that Jimmy Butler is doing. I can understand the James Hardens. I can understand sort of what the WNBA is doing. They got a league out right now, this 3-on-3 full court league. I don't know if anybody's following this, but it's all about them. Like, it has nothing to do with, they own the league. And I guess sort of the other side of this is that, you know, the way players are treated, like you tell them, Steve Kerr said, you know, buy in, give everything to this team. And then with like 10 minutes notice, you're told you're no longer living in this city, pack your bags, get the hell out of here. I get it. It's what everybody signs up for. But in a weird way, sort of a roundabout way, I understand where the Jimmy Butlers of the world, where they come from. Like, you know what, man? I'm the reason why people come to this arena, all right? This is about me at the end of the day. Now, maybe he takes it to a different level, to an extreme, but I think that there is sort of, you know, there's both ends of that spectrum. The harsh reality of what it is that we saw in the movement of two very popular, or at least one very popular player, and Andrew Wiggins. And then, of course, what it is that Jimmy Butler and some of these other players that we deem as being selfish. I think there's a connective tissue between the two.
No, I actually don't think the off-the-court stuff is my biggest concern about Butler. And that might be contrary to popular belief. I think that Jimmy Butler is going to fit with this team. Off the court. My biggest concern lies on the court.
You mean schematically?
Yes. I also think that there's something to be said about a hierarchy change with the Warriors. And I'll tell you why. That's kind of the biggest thing that I'm thinking about right now. I'll tell you what it is on the other side, because it has to do with the franchise. It has to do with Steph. And it's been something that's been kind of biting at me for some time. So I'll tell you what it is on the other side. If you want to get in on the Jimmy Butler conversation, phone lines are open. 888-957-9570. That's Dan Devone. My name is Evan Giddings. We're back after this on Warriors This Week.